Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
Scott McKay is away this week. Instead, we've got the investigative reporter from WPRI-TV, Tim White. Good morning, Tim.
Hi, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest Rhode Island Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
We're facing a lively election season in Rhode Island this year. There are high-profile races for governor and U.S. Senate. And Steve Frias, the Republican who lost a state representative race to Democratic House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello by just 85 votes in 2016, is taking another shot. But at least 42 state lawmakers will face no opponent this year. Meanwhile, former state rep John Carnevale is trying for a comeback after he was found not to live in the district he represented at the state house. Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea, is this about as good as it gets as far as the health of democracy in Rhode Island, that there are a couple of high profile races, but that many, many races go uncontested?
No, I think that actually the health of a democracy is not just measured by the candidacies. Of course, you want many candidacies and good candidacies, not just quantity, is also quality. But you also want to see engagement by the public. So in the end, I think the formula is much more complicated than just saying like, oh, well, there are X number of uncontested races. Truth of the matter is that some of the races down the ticket are really important and they don't get usually the media coverage that one would hope.
Well, speaking about engagement of the public, there's a lot of public interest in former Representative John Carnevale's attempted comeback. Most Democrats have been very quiet about that. Does this situation raise any concerns for you?
I'm disappointed that he's moving forward with this. I think it encourages cynicism among voters, given the issues that he's facing with his past race. But hey, you know, there are requirements. If he meets the requirements and he decides to run, he could do so. We do have bodies in place to guard the system.
Secretary Gorbea, I consider you a civics expert in your position, so I'm going to ask you about those requirements with Mr. Carnevale. We know that if he has a criminal case against him, if he's convicted or pleads guilty and he gets a sentence of 6 months, even if it's suspended or more, he can't run for election before the election. What happens if it's after the November election? Is there anything that happens there, or is it in the hands of the General Assembly?
No, I think, so that's where your local board of canvassers, the State Board of Elections, come into play. They're the ones that are the real arbiters of elections and what happens. I mean, you saw it in the city council race for Kevin Jackson, right, where there was a recall and everything. But, I'm hopeful that we don't have to get to that point and that this will get resolved way before the ballots are set.
I just wanted to ask you a follow-up. I tend to agree with you about the fact that this is a vibrant kind of election in the sense that the primaries and so forth, there's competition from the GOP, and a lot of women are getting involved. What do you say to that? I mean, I think it's a healthy sign that people are engaged and involved, even though there are a lot of challenges both parties.
I have always said that, our best public policy solutions comes when there's a lot of diversity of opinions, perspectives, and backgrounds. And campaigns are exactly that. They highlight differences and different approaches, and they make people think. So I think that's all good.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see because ultimately the voters are going to get to decide about John Carnevale.
Yes.
Well, let's switch gears. There was a lot of news out of the U.S. Supreme Court this week. The announcement from 81-year-old Justice Anthony Kennedy that he plans to leave the court has alarmed some Americans. Kennedy's exit will give President Trump a chance to move the court to the right by choosing a conservative justice. And some observers think it's only a matter of time until the court overturns the landmark abortion rights case Roe v. Wade from 1973. Secretary Gorbea, do you share that concern? And do you think legislative leaders in Rhode Island should bring the legislature back to contemplate legislation that could strengthen abortion rights in Rhode Island?
First of all, let me just say on the record that I'm thankful to Justice Kennedy for his service. And I am, however, disappointed about the timing of the decision. I think it's going to really politicize the court in a way that and the appointment process moving forward. Women's issues are not going to go away. There's clearly a demand by women in the population and some men as well that women's health issues, the abortion issue, be addressed. And so whether or not the session comes back or not, It's going to be a topic of debate and one that I think needs to be heard in the legislature.
How do you expect this issue to affect elections in Rhode Island this year, Maureen?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of talk about whether or not the legislature should come back in place. And I think we saw from this session that women's issues did not do very well at the end of the day. In other words, there are a lot of initiatives that women's groups supported that didn't come to pass. We all expect that Roe is going to be challenged in some way. As I see it, the Webster decision that says states cannot place an undue burden on women having an abortion, that's where states can make a difference. They can be sure that the courts are not able to restrict these kinds of things. If you're talking about individual states making statements, it's going to be a tumultuous debate, not only in this election, but as the court proceeds.
Tim, Speaker Mattiello was here in May, and he kind of poo-pooed the idea that Roe v. Wade might be overturned. Is this going to come back and bite him with him facing a challenge from Republican Steve Frost?
As with everything, time will tell, but it was very clear on the campaign trail that President Trump wants to overturn Roe versus Wade. And of course, all eyes right now are on the U.S. Senate. We remember when Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell wouldn't even bring up President Obama's nomination for a hearing. Certainly, Democrats are going to call him a hypocrite right now if he doesn't, if he then goes forward with a hearing in the process for President Trump's nomination. But there are two problems for Democrats. Mitch McConnell had the power then, and he has the power now.
Finally, the Supreme Court also eliminated the right of public employee unions to collect money from workers who don't want to join the union. Some observers say that will undermine the influence of labor in politics. Unions have been a big part of the Democratic coalition in Rhode Island for many years. Secretary Gorbea, is that going to affect their power in Rhode Island?
You know, I'm confident that union members, despite what this ruling comes around to, really understand and value the role that unions play in protecting their rights and their livelihood. And so I don't see this decision necessarily having a really transcendental effect. At the core of unions, it's not just about the contributions, which I know get a lot of media play. It's about the membership and their engagement. And that's really at the heart of what unions are about.
Tim, some of the people we talked to, like Paul Dowdy, head of the Providence Firefighters Union, have downplayed the impact of this decision. What do you think?
Well, I think it's important to point out that Paul Dowdy represents a public safety union. And the sectors, I think, are going to matter here. I think, with law enforcement, with firefighters unions, it might be one thing. It might be a totally different thing with, say, teachers unions. I think one of the tests will be when membership isn't happy with how a new contract was bargained. If there's some unrest within a certain local, we might see some people go, what am I paying for again? On the flip side, organized labor, particularly in Rhode Island, but in the country, obviously has had a lot of influence. I could see them getting more empowered by this decision politically, especially as we go into the midterm elections.
The effect is going to be more profound in some other states where, you know, teachers are not getting the kind of resources and support that they need. I think it'll have a marginal difference depending on the circumstances and how strong the unions are, but I don't think it's going to be profound here. I can just tell you as an aside, the faculty at URI are not very happy about this.
Mm. That's all the time we've got, so we've got to leave it there. Thanks for joining us from WPRI-TV, Tim White.
Thanks, Ian.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Rhode Island Secretary of State Nellie Gorbea.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, you can find a lot more on our website at ripr.org.